Motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort.
6 in the morning, police at my door. Fresh Adidas squeak across the bathroom floor. Out my back window, I make my...
Fuck the police!
Yo, man, what you mean?
Police, open now. We have a warrant for easy arrest. Get down and put your
hands... You ain't never seen.
It's Thursday, September 24th, 2020. This is episode Z21. And you are about to go down the rabbit hole with Joe and Brian. I'm Brian. He's Joe. Joe, how's the world treating you today, man?
Well, I'm well, yourself?
You know, that's a loaded question.
As if we didn't just spend the last hour or so going.
Yeah. The world is treating me well. The technology gods, that's they must have heard rumors that I've got a show in the works targeting just them.
Yeah, or plotting a takeover. Either one is just as likely as Brian.
Yeah, for sure, man. But we're here. We're a little late, and just want to let everyone know the sound quality. It's too soon to say how it's going to be.
Yeah, the sound quality is the sound quality.
Yeah, we asked. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was about to say, and for all intents and purposes, they don't know that we're recording late.
Okay, well, that's a good point. That's a really good point. We ask you to bear with us if the sound quality is kind of poor. Because of technical reasons, we've had to revert back to recording this the way episodes 1 and 2 were recorded, I think.
Maybe just one.
So, but... Regardless, we'll get through this together, guys.
together.
Oh, goodness. So, if I had my soundboard working tonight, right here is where I'd play the clip of motherfucker, give me two fingers of Southern Comfort. And then I'd ask you what the bartender brought, Joe. What'd the bartender bring you?
Well, the bartender brought me, the last thing I drank was a rum and coke, a regular, I guess it's like a podcast regular now, because I've had this several times. It was a banana rum with a Pepsi with a little bit of lemon. But because of our technical issues, that's gone.
So, oh, yeah.
Like, I'm, like, staring down the barrel of water. I hate that stuff.
I made me a pretty stiff margarita, and it's taken every fiber of my being not to just shotgun this. But I've got about half left, and, yeah. You know, it's funny, I wish I could have played the sound clip, but you know, the Southern Comfort thing, it's funny. I got that sound clip from the most recent season of True Detective. And the funny thing is I personally have not drank Southern Comfort since probably before I was allowed to drink.
I think after a certain age, you're drinking that stuff, it's, like, legal. Like,
it's just a weird thing, you know. I don't know why, but I drink plenty of whiskey, but I've just never drank Southern Comfort. And my memories of it is like 19 or 20 maybe, and me and my buddy would get a fifth of that and maybe a case of like Bud Light, and we'd play it. Well, he would kick my ass at Sega Genesis, and then we'd ultimately end up drunk dialing some girls or whatever. But I don't know. I've just never had the opportunity nor seeked it out to drink Southern Comfort again. And I don't know why that popped into my head, but.
What popped in my head is that you and your friend must have had bladders the size of Texas. A fifth and a case of Bud Light. Holy crap.
A case, maybe it was a 12. But I always think we bought our Bud Light in cases.
That's still a lot of pissing.
It was.
I figured you guys would be sore after. Holy crap. I'm like, oh, are you sore in there?
That's funny. So anyway,
is Southern Comfort a whiskey?
Yeah, it's a whiskey. But here's what I always remembered from it is typically your whiskeys are like 80, 90 proof, which means that they're like, you know, 40-45% alcohol.
Yeah, like a smack in the face.
Yeah, but the I remember the Southern Comfort that we got, and maybe it's just because we weren't buying it from a state liquor store, maybe. But it was not high proof. It was like 40 or 50 proof, which means that it was, you know, maybe 30% alcohol, but it was, and it had a lot of sugar. It was like sweet. It had a lot of sugar in it, so.
And that's what I remember of it. I mean, that's probably why the guy is asking. Is he asking for a finger or two fingers of Southern?
He's saying two fingers in the clip.
Well, that's probably why.
But I don't even know why he would be drinking Southern Comfort in the first place, unless there's like a grown up version where it's like real whiskey without all the sugar. I don't know.
Well, that might be something that we need to investigate and get to the bottom of now that we think of it.
Be like, give me two fingers of Johnny Walker Red, man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not saying that.
Give me two fingers of Jameson.
Yeah, we'll have to get to the bottom of that. Well, okay.
You know, I will. Next time I have the opportunity, I will look. I will investigate. That's my job. My job is to investigate Southern Comfort.
Well, hell, like Brian's on the case until it'll be done.
I'm on the case. Baby. You know what? I would like, before we get going any further, I want to ask all of our YouTube listeners to please like this episode.
Like.
If you're not subscribed already, please do.
Please subscribe.
And hit the little bell there so that you can get updated every time we drop a new episode. I feel like I'm in the biz, the pro now, dropping. Talk about dropping episodes.
Yeah. We're not uploading, we're dropping.
We're dropping episodes, baby. And if you would, do us the biggest favor of all, share this with as many people as you can so that we can, I mean, you would think that millions of listeners would be enough for us, but it's not. We want more.
More. We're Americans.
We want more. And so just like I assigned myself the homework of investigating the Southern Comfort, last week we assigned ourselves some homework, Joe, and that was to find out what the fuck is going on down in Georgia and the whole Ahmaud Arbery case. Do we have a court date? Do we have a start date? Do we know anything? Joe, go.
No.
Ah.
We know nothing. We don't have a court date. We don't know anything. And this wasn't for lack of trying. When making the show notes from last show, I'm like, oh, crap, we've got a homework assignment. So We got started looking at it quite earlier in the week, and yeah, nothing. And then today we looked right before the show came on, and no, nothing. And so right now in Arbury, we don't have a court date. We have nothing.
Well, that's I don't know. Okay, that's great. I mean, you would think that by now. I mean, it really the entire summer has went by.
Yeah.
You think that there'd be some, the wheels of justice might start moving, but maybe something's going on behind the scenes that we're not aware of yet.
And you know, world might be moving a little bit slower down in Atlanta for whatever reason, or maybe they're like just, you know, trying to wait till the, you know, George Floyd gets his shine out, and then I don't know, but yeah, you'd figure with a dead man that there'd be something has happened, but no, not yet. But hey, we're looking for it.
Yeah, and you know, again, we like weekly will do. Just to maintain this segment, we weekly will do a search for Ahmaud Arbery, you know, and, you know, say we haven't even heard, I mean, you know, I don't even know what the status with, like, his family. You just don't hear anything about the entire family anymore, man. The mom, the whoever, you just.
It's like everybody has something else better to do now.
Yeah, he picked. I'm going to say this, and I know that this is a fucked up thing to say, but he picked the wrong time to get killed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, hey.
There's just too many other people out there waiting to get killed to take his spotlight. And I say all that facetiously, knowing that it's wrong to say, but
yeah.
I'm being wrong to illustrate just how absurd this is.
I think you might be needing to be more careful with your words, because as I see right now, there's some riots going down in Louisville.
Yeah, that's just like literally about an hour or so down the old interstate from me. So yeah, I'm one of those. I'm here sitting in my little cul-de-sac suburb, thinking that I'm all protected and whatnot. So yeah, I don't want to say anything that would make the, you know, karma come down on me with a ass whooping.
Well,
here, I don't want to hear karma knocking on my door, man. I'm not answering.
Well, speaking of karma and ass whipping, do we have anything on George Floyd?
Yeah, I don't have anything on him either, I'm afraid. But I think a lot has been going on since we last spoke, Joe, to suck the air out of the news media this week, and we're gonna touch on it all.
Yes, we will.
But one story that you brought to my attention, and this is the Speaker of the House that I love to hate.
Wait! This is news to me. If, you know, Brian not liking the Nancy from Chuck and Nancy. This is wait.
Dude, I would. You know what? Fuck it. This margarita's hitting me pretty nice. I'll say it. I would rather have Ruth Bader Ginsburg around for another 2, 3, 4 years if we could get Nancy to take her place. is that horrible to say?
I mean, it's politics, and so, you know, it's, you know, but yeah, that's. If it weren't politics, yeah, it would be officially horrible. But because it is politics, you know, all is fair in politics, apparently. But I think, when I first heard this story, I thought to myself, maybe Nancy Pelosi's lost her mind. And let's see here.
Yeah, this is a Yeah, this is an interesting story, and my take on it, I think, was you didn't see coming, but you know what we should probably do is enlighten the people on what the hell we're talking about.
Fair enough, let's do. Let's see here, what's that? Nancy Pelosi on Monday blasted Facebook executives and employees as totally disreputable over the prevalence of posts touting right-wing conspiracy theories, movements such as QAnon, and continued on saying, let's see here, in 2016, the Russians interfered with our election, and rules were coming in, and they knew, and they had to know that these weren't not on the level of American sites, they said. Well, we never thought it was that. So, sorry, wrong quote. I don't know how Facebook board of directors or their top employees can look themselves in the mirror, she continued. They have clearly chosen their business plan is to make money off poison, and the path they, and that, that is the path they have chosen to go.
Yeah.
Facebook representative did not immediately respond to Business Insider's request for comment on Pelosi's remarks.
I think they got it. I think if you go down further, there's a quote from Mark Zuckerberg, and it's he is like, and it's Mark Zuckerberg is saying, "What the fuck, Nancy?"
Well, I mean, when actually no, like when I, like I said, when I first heard this quote, I like myself, maybe she had lost her mind.
Mm.
Because last time I checked, she's a politician from the great state of California. And she's a politician from San Francisco. And San Francisco, from my knowledge, is like, you know, I don't want to say ground zero, but it's close to the ground zero of Silicon Valley. And so,
by all intents and purposes, it is Silicon Valley, right?
Yeah, yeah. And so, I thought to myself that politicians who are A, elected, and B, want to continue getting elected in California, just knew better than to say something like that about Facebook. But,
well, as we theorize, maybe she has stock in Google or Twitter or something.
Yeah, but and this is the crazy piece. So Pelosi also said she's looking into Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, signed into law in 1996, which stipulates that companies that operate online forums such as Facebook cannot be considered publishers and therefore cannot be held liable for the content that appears on it. It's not clear whether Pelosi would support the repeal of the law. She told Swisher that any action would have to be handled carefully, not to not hurt smaller platforms or endanger true speech, but to ensure that Facebook is not enabled to get rich at the expense of our democracy. So I think, yeah, she's a little hot about it about this.
Now that what she just touched on there is probably at the core of everything that all of these big tech companies are. I mean, it's at the their argument has always been that we aren't the pub. We only host the content. We aren't responsible for what the people who post things on our site say, and that's the loophole that they've been using to avoid being sued out of existence.
Sued out of existence? That sounds terrible.
I wish they were all sued out of existence. But beside the point. But that's why when they're talking about editing, when all these sites are like editing. I mean, this is, they're editing right-leaning posts and whatnot. They need to be careful because if they're injecting themselves into the content in some way, then one could make the rule that they are in fact now publishers and they are now in fact responsible for everything.
Hmm. Let me go a little bit further. It says Section 230 may be the one area that Pelosi and Trump agree. Holy crap. So it took Facebook to make Pelosi and Trump agree on something. The provision has come as it has become a target of Trump's over the past several months, particularly after Twitter fact-checked his tweets in May. Trump then signed an executive order that threatened to penalize social media companies for the allegations of bias against conservative users.
Yeah, there you have it. Yeah, so...
I'm not familiar with all this editing of conservatives that you speak of.
Well, it's when posts get banned or whatnot, or flagged. They're always right leaning posts or articles or whatever. There's always the few exceptions to the rule, but by and large, it's people on the right that are getting that always seem to get penalized by these.
But wait a second. Hmm. If they're getting banned, how do you know that? How does the outside world know that the person who's being banned is banned? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, okay. I haven't even done the show on big tech yet, and I'm going to introduce. Let me introduce another show that I'm going to do one day, Cole, and it's going to be about alt tech.
All right. So wait. That way we can make sure that everybody's tuned. So we have big tech.
Big tech.
Sorry. Wait, we have a big tech show coming.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have an alt tech show coming.
If needed. Maybe I'll mix alt tech in with big tech.
And truth be told, this is the very first time I've ever heard the phrase alt tech.
It is. I've not talked about this with you before.
Oh, is this like a Brian Newman? Is this something you made up, or is this like really?
No. This is a thing. This is a thing. There's for example, I complain about YouTube. The YouTube being the gatekeepers. Well, the argument that people would always make was, well, if you don't like YouTube, then there's nothing stopping you from building your own.
There are quite a few things stopping you from building.
Well, that's true. There is, but there's alternatives. YouTube is not the only video hosting site. It's the most popular and it's the most well known, and it is, by and large, the de facto video web hosting site. But there's also a BitChute, and that's the alt tech version of YouTube.
I'm sorry, you're saying?
The alt tech version of Twitter is Gab. There are alt tech sites out there. It's just they're lesser known, but they are among the people who know or the people who care. They are very important. And so if someone was to get banned off of YouTube, a lot of the alt-right people. They'll post their content everywhere. They'll post it on YouTube. They'll post it on BitChute. It's just part of their publishing is they publish to multiple platforms. And I've been meaning for the last 2 weeks to look into maybe setting up a BitChute account so that we can start putting our content there as well, because make no mistake, Joe, maybe my millions of listeners number is slightly exaggerated.
Yeah, very slightly.
But if the shit we say could easily get us kicked off of YouTube.
What?
So
wait, no. We talked about, the list of things we've talked about. And the number of people and groups of people who could get it or have gotten it. If we're not, you know, banned yet, it's not going to happen for us.
Don't say that, man. I don't know. I know what you're saying, but I don't feel comfortable.
I mean, you know, last week we talked about, Israel being an apartheid state. I think a couple weeks before that we talked about how Brian's a horrible transphobe. And a few weeks before that we talked about... So, like, you know, I don't know. I mean, but hey, you said something in that last sentence, in a couple of sentences that I want you to follow up on a little bit. You have, you know, on the list of shows that you're going to be doing, you said alt tech, big tech. Can you also add alt right to that list?
Well, alt right is I knew I shouldn't have. I knew as soon as I said that I fucked up.
Okay. Well, I mean, now that your foot is in it.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Alt right. I'll be honest. I'll be completely honest with you and everyone else. I'm not 100% sure right now of the definition of alt right. But I am pretty sure that I think that it's a movement that had legitimate roots but has been co-opted. But if you'll let me retract the alt-right statement now, because I'll be honest, I don't know exactly. I don't even know what the definition of it is, really.
Oh, I mean, that's cool. I mean, and it's one of those things where, like, you know, alt-right sounds like alt-right, but in some quarters that means Nazis. And so,
yeah. See, I thought alt-right meant I originally thought. And this is a few years ago. I originally, and maybe I just heard the term and thought that I knew what it meant, but I had always considered alt-right to be the people on the right, but who, the anti-establishment, like the anti-establishment right.
So non-mainstream Republicans.
Yeah, but I realize, you're absolutely right. Nowadays, that when you hear alt-right, people think Nazi and all that kind of stuff. And that's not what I meant at all. When I said alt-right, I meant the conservatives who aren't part of the mainstream is kind of like what I meant.
Well, I mean, just in case you're a goose-stepping alt-righter, you're still alright by me because you're still my friend. So, yeah.
Wow. Now that was some verbal jujitsu right there, man. That was pretty slick.
No, but I think this will be a topic we'll have to follow up on because sometimes you have a term and you use it and you think you know what it is, but then you find out that there are a whole bunch of other meanings to it and you're like, holy crap, I didn't mean that. And so we can go back and unpack that.
I like that idea.
All right, cool. Good deal. So let's see here. Now, so Pelosi, you said that she probably holds stock in, what, Twitter?
Yeah, Twitter or something.
Yeah, I don't know if she holds stock in Twitter, because I think if she did, she probably would try to deplatform Trump, because that's like, you know, his app of choice.
He might be impervious to being deplatformed, but if we still have a few days left of the election, so don't hold me to that.
Yeah, I'm sure nothing crazy could possibly happen between now and the election.
I'm not saying a goddamn thing, man.
we can rest secure in that knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
but while we're doing that. Something happened in Louisville, right? Or something's happening in Louisville.
Yeah, you know, the whole Breonna Taylor. I'll be honest with you, Joe, and I think we determined before we hit the record button tonight that incident kind of all happened around the time that Ahmaud Arbery and some other things were happening, and I didn't know a lot about it. You brought it to my attention at first, and I think the story that we heard back then wasn't necessarily the story that's out now. And I'll be honest, John, I'm kind of confused, and I'm hoping that you might be able to shed some light on what exactly went down, and then from there, what's happening now, and I don't know, maybe some predictions on what we expect to happen in the future, maybe. I don't know.
Well, if you were confused about the issue, you have come to the right place, my friend.
I knew that you'd straighten me out.
Yeah, Joe has an answer. So, right now, Louisville is in the news for several reasons. I think it was yesterday that the three officers involved in the death of Breonna Taylor were pretty much essentially, basically they were told, no charges here. I think of the three people there, only one of them got charges, and I think that one was wanton or...
I think he got charged for an unrelated offense. I think he was charged for his firearm. He fired off into another apartment or something like that.
Yes. So I remember seeing a meme of where three officers are three officers were in question, and the one who gets charged is the one who missed in killing killing Breonna Taylor. But so what happened in Louisville? Shortly after the midnight on March 13th, Louisville police officers executing a search warrant used a battering ram to enter an apartment of Miss Taylor, a 26-year-old emergency room technician. Police have been investigating two men who they believe were selling drugs out of the house that was far from Miss Taylor's home, but a judge had also signed a warrant allowing the police to search Miss Taylor's residence because the police said they believe one of the men had used her apartment to receive packages. Miss Taylor had been dating that man on and off for several years, but had recently severed ties with him, according to her family's lawyer. That's probably a lie. Miss Taylor and her boyfriend, Kenneth Walker, had been in bed, but got up when they heard loud banging on the door. Mr. Walker said that he and Miss Taylor both called out, asking who it was at the door. Mr. Taylor later told the police he feared it was Miss Taylor's ex-boyfriend trying to break in. So wait a second. So Miss Taylor and this guy, I guess at home in bed, and they hear loud, banging with a battering ram at their door. And I guess it says here that does that make sense thus far?
Yes, although I don't know about a battering ram just being used to knock on the door.
Well, those, let's see here, you don't use a battering ram to knock on the door. You use a battering ram to knock down the door. After the police broke the door off its hinges, Mr. Walker fired his gun once, striking Sergeant Mattley in the thigh. The police responded by firing several shots, striking Miss Taylor five times. One of the three officers on the scene, Detective Brett, Hankinson, who has since been shot, fired 10 rounds blindly into the apartment. Holy crap. Mr. Walker told investigators that Taylor coughed and struggled to breathe for at least 5 minutes after she was shot, according to the Louisville Courier Journal. An ambulance on standby outside the apartment had been told to leave about an hour before the raid, counter to standard practice. As officers called an ambulance back to the scene and struggled to render aid, their colleague, Miss Taylor, was not given any medical attention. Holy crap. It was not until 12:47 a.m., about 5 minutes after the shooting, that emergency personnel realized that she had been seriously wounded. Her boyfriend had called 911. "I don't know what's happening," Mr. Walker said on a recording, caught line 911 call. Someone just kicked in the door and shot my girlfriend. Okay. Questions, comments, concerns?
Well, yeah, question. I don't understand. Okay, so the police, they brought a medic with them. But then before they got going, they sent him away?
Apparently. I mean, it looks as if standard practice is to have an ambulance on hand, but if I read the thing correctly, it said about an hour before the raid, they sent them away.
Okay. And then...
Let me read it again. An ambulance on standby outside the apartment had been told to leave about an hour before the raid. Counter to standard practice. So,
Okay. Well, I don't understand that. And then, how did this guy get time to make a 911 call if he's being raided?
I wasn't there, man, but,
right. No, that's just one of my. That's just something that popped out as me as odd. If the police are raiding this place and they're shooting weapons, you know, when do you find time to call 911? You know what I'm saying? It's just that seems bizarre.
Well, maybe these cops were a bunch of pussies. I mean, maybe he was literally holding them off with with one shot fired, and he was down the police. And I mean,
yeah.
everything about this sounds if you're a cop and you're knocking on the door, you got a battering ram, you should be yelling like, "Hey, this is the police. We're coming in."
Well, they did announce. I thought I heard that they announced themselves.
I don't think I recall hearing that. Well, let me go back. Because my understanding, the whole no knock is that
yourself. But if they knocked when it was a no knock, and they.
Well, no, I don't think coming through with a battering ram is considered a knock. Is it?
Well, no. I don't know. I've heard similar but slightly different versions of this story. But.
All right. So, I'll go back. Miss Taylor and her boyfriend Kenneth Walker had been in bed, but got up when they heard loud banging at the door. Mr. Walker said he and Taylor both at Miss Taylor. Both called out asking who was at the door. Mr. Walker later said that told the police he feared that Ms. Taylor's ex-boyfriend was trying to break in. So you got two or three guys with a battering ram trying to open the door, and I guess two people on the inside asking who's out there. And let's just go with this one, because this is the story we have in front of us, and New York Times is a reputable source. If you have other stories, we can go about that later. But for now,
I don't have another source, but I will say the New York Times is a very liberal newspaper.
Oh, deal. And I'm sure you'll be able to find a story that tells a different line, and we can talk about what comes out of that story when you bring it to us. But for what we have now, we've got two to three guys trying to get in, two people on the inside wondering who's trying to get in, and then one shot fired from the two people towards the three guys, and then a whole bunch of shooting, coming back. So, let's see here. 20 minutes. Da-da-da. All right, so this seems like one of those classic pooch scoot situations where Maybe this was a totally normal thing that they were doing, raiding a suspected drug house. But it just seemed like it just went seven ways from Sunday, starting at about an hour before the accident occurred.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, so like, just for our edification, Brian and Miss Noonan are chilling at home. Okay, midnight. You hear a large banging on the door. Boom, 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 boom. Okay.
Yes.
And let's just assume, and we're going to assume this because the guy says he didn't know. The guy said that they did not know it was police. So we're just going to assume that people are banging on the door, and you have no idea who it is. How do you think you would respond, Brian?
I would be putting the air cartridge in my my pellet gun pistol.
So what you're saying is you'd be locked and loaded.
Yeah, the problem. I get the point, but also. I'd like to think that I wouldn't have a known drug dealer spending the night either, you know.
No, you know what? We all have our secrets, and who knows? Jeff Newman in this case, you know, could have been little Escobara.
She was making those trips to South America quite often, and I did find that kind of odd.
Yeah, but okay. So, like, but I mean, but even let's say even if you are a drug dealer, if somebody's banging on your door, I mean, like, I guess we all have in our mind what it looks like when a cop shows, right? It's like, you know,
right?
Like they're you know, they announce who they are, you're surrounded, come out with your hands up, that type of stuff, right? But I get the feeling that, I guess I know me, if I'm woken up out of a dead sleep, even if I'm out of a dead sleep, if it's midnight and you're asking me to do something that's not like, you know, sleep or eat, I'm probably a little bit disoriented. And so, yeah.
I'm with you. I guess my overall thought is this. This is just a tragic. I'll say accident. Although I know that, you know, if various things had happened, then it wouldn't have happened. But I don't know, man. I just, can accidents happen and people die from them? I don't know. I mean, do you think that? What do you think should happen to these three cops? I mean, if you ruled the world, what would happen to them?
If I ruled the world, I think you don't shoot somebody five times and it'd be an accident, an utter accident. You shoot somebody once and it's an accident, maybe twice. But I think.
Will you allow for the fact that Monday morning quarterbacks see things a lot more clearly than?
Yeah, I get that, and you know, in their defense, somebody had fire at them from the building. It appears, and so if you're trying to get in and a fire comes out and one of your buddies gets hit, you're thinking of him, and you're also thinking of you and how you want to return home that night as well. And so, I get that piece.
Mm-hmm.
I guess my thing is like, okay, going into an unknown hostile situation, which you have every reason to believe that, you know, going into a drug den would be. But, huh. Man. I stand by my previous comment. You don't get to make mistakes and people die and no one go to jail.
Okay.
It is. This is one of those very hard cases, and it's likely one of those things where the right answer would have been to, why can't they just knock? Knock on the door, announce who they were. Excuse me. Well, I know why they couldn't just knock, because one of these guys was packing heat, just started blasting cops.
I can sympathize with what happened. I mean, it's horrible, but I don't know, man. It's I'm gonna say this just for the thought experiment, not as a gotcha, because I understand the differences for sure, but. But you said no one should be able to make a mistake and someone die and not go to jail. But I mean, would you apply that same rule to a surgeon or some doctor?
I think that's a different I think that's a different scenario, because there he is clearly practicing medicine for which he's licensed, and the person chances favor the doctor than just show up at the patient's house at midnight and start.
Understood, but what if during surgery shit goes sideways and the surgeon should have zigged and he zagged and the person died,
if he should have zigged and he should have zagged, that's one thing. But if there's gross incompetence where he's like he was drunk and hung over, while doing the surgery. Yeah, there's probably some, there's some criminality there. I understand that, that's a pretty broad sweeping statement.
Like I said, that wasn't a fair question on my part, but I wanted to throw it out there as something to think about.
I get that, but I will say this, If the city and the state issue you a gun and a badge, to me, you don't get to like, oh, I'm sorry, I was having a bad day. Mistakes happen, the community, placing you a high level of trust, and I think it's only right and appropriate that we should, expect a.
I agree. I'm with you. I understand what you're saying. I do.
Yes. But I guess the other thing is what I don't understand is how do you end up firing randomly 10 shots? I wonder if the cop was screaming while he was firing blindly.
I don't know. I mean, I know that we would like to but we have this image of cops as these impervious people who, you might have like Riggs. Or Martell out of Lethal Weapon, these super brave cops that don't make mistakes and just whatever. But I think in reality, cops they're for the most part like everyone else, and that if you find yourself in a jacked up situation where, like you said, they're like thinking, this guy just got shot and I may not make it home. Was unloading 10 rounds into a dark apartment the right thing to do? Probably not. No, not probably. It wasn't, but
yeah, but they probably, huh? What?
But when you're, but you know, when you're fucking scared, and again, I have to allow for this heat of the moment type of thing, man. It's just, you know, when the fear takes over, you might do some crazy stuff.
Yeah, but okay, you have to allow. But you know, I know Bill Barr. You know, he's one of my favorite comedians. He has this thing where he's like, yeah, people always want to put themselves in the position of the position they're like they're most likely to be. So, I'm putting myself in the position of the black man with the cops. You know, sorry, with people coming through the door, me not knowing who it is, me trying to defend myself, and then my girlfriend getting murdered. Mm-hmm. I see myself in, you know, and that guy's position, Mr. Walker was his name, and yeah. But to answer your previous point, I don't see cops as brave. I mean, as you know, abnormally brave, and oh, you know, they're like, you know, heroes. Now, there's no doubt that cops do a lot of heroic work, but I don't see them as a rule as you know, abnormally brave and just, you know, good and virtuous. As a black person in America, you become more than familiar with how error-prone and human cops are. Does that make sense? That makes sense?
It does make sense.
So we don't have the same point of reference in terms of cops. So you're like, oh, yeah, like cops, you know, I assume they're good and virtuous. I'm like, oh, I assume they're human. So, yeah. And the other thing is, to me, if somebody important and innocent of yours is dead, the excuse, oh, I was afraid, that will never be satisfied. Does that make sense?
It makes sense.
And so you would hope that the training they undergo will make it such that they're not just, you know, firing off random shots into, you know, a building. If that makes sense. So,
well, you know, you said that's a good point. That's something to hit on. It's training. And it makes you wonder whether people who aren't mentally right for the job are being hired regardless.
Yeah, and like you were saying, even if they are mentally right for the job, and that split second when your buddy is just taking a bullet, but yeah, there's training has to mean something, because if it doesn't, then everybody just, you know. Then you might as well just arm everybody if training really doesn't matter.
Well, shit, you know, that's my answer right there to anything right now. I want everybody fucking armed.
Everybody except?
I don't really, you know. I don't have
enough. No, except?
Everyone except,
Brian. Brian doesn't want Brian to be armed. Yeah, so
well,
Brian,
but like we established, if Brian were to be armed, no one would know about it.
Right.
We've talked a lot about this, and I don't know. Do we want to talk about? I mean, do we need to talk about the unrest that's happening right now? Or I don't know. It's I'll be honest with you. And this year has drained. We have been hit nonstop with bad things this entire year, and I'm just running out of give a fucks.
Yeah.
And I mean not to say I don't give a fuck that this woman died, but. Really, I don't know. I don't. There's more protests going on, and you know what? It's like, well, there was protests last week, and there was protests the week before, and the week before that, and now there's more protests, and I'm just kind of burnt out on it. But
well, I mean, it makes sense that, you know, as a person who hasn't had this, you know, come to their doorstep,
right.
Know,
Right.
And I'm not saying that to be like, oh, you're just this callous bastard. It is emotionally draining when every time you turn around, it's like, oh my God, someone else got shot in the street again.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not that, you know, not that you're a bad person for running out of emotional wherewithal to devote to this, but, you know, it is worth noting that stuff is effed up. A lot of bad things are happening. Now,
let me. This is putting you on the spot, and if you don't want me to,
I like just, the spot.
Are you sure? Because this is like one of those questions that white people always pop off with when things like this happen.
This isn't one of those, like, you know, after you know, when did you stop beating your wife, before or after? Is it one of those?
No. It's nothing like that. And it's a legitimate question, but.
Let's hear it.
Are you sure?
Sure, why not?
So, okay, when. I'll just pick a number. But say when 10 black men in Chicago get murdered over the course of a single weekend, where is the outrage?
I think there's plenty of outrage, but it's one of those things where it's like, how could you make that comparison with a straight face if 10 black men are murdered by 10 other non-cop, non-badge-wielding black men? That's criminal activity. No one would be like, oh my goodness, you know, criminals are engaging in criminality. The question becomes is when you have a person who is, a representative of the state, once again, with a badge and a gun, those guys should not be going around murdering black men. So, I mean, yeah.
That makes perfect sense. That's a good answer. But at the end of the day,
you thought you were gonna stop me?
No, I wasn't trying to do that either. It was just a question that I felt like if I don't ask it, because I know. I don't know who. What the demographics of the people who are listening to this are, but that's a question that pops up in, conservative conversations. It's like, where's that outrage? But I would just put out there that, whether it's, I understand that in one instance it is the state does need to be held to a higher standard, but on the other hand, there's still 10 dead people, and there should be some outrage towards whether even if the people who did that are criminals, there should be some outrage, and we never hear about it.
I think there is outrage. I mean, not all outrage is covered by the national media, and this is not to say, oh, it's the media are the bad guys, which they certainly are in most cases. But it's to say that, I don't want to.
And again, we've established that Black Lives Matter Inc. does not equal the idea that Black Lives Matter, but. I don't know. I've never heard of Black Lives Matter showing up in Chicago to do a goddamn thing.
Well, and I haven't either. But that is not to say that just because I haven't heard of it, that does not mean that it's not happening.
Ooh, can I take a real quick aside?
Sure.
Did you hear that? That the Black Lives Matter removed their about page from their website, like the page that like really went into what they were really about and their found, you know, all that kind of stuff.
You know what's surprising to me is that they didn't remove it sooner.
I know. That's what I thought when I heard that.
Because I remember when I first read it, I'm like, what the hell? I mean, it was like, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, it was, and I've subsequently heard some interviews of those guys. They're like, oh, man, or those gals.
The gals.
Yeah. He's like, oh, man, now, what are we signing ourselves up for?
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to throw it out there real quick because I didn't want to forget it, but I thought that was interesting. So those were good. Actually, I thought that was a really good answer. And the next time, you know, if I'm ever in the company of people who and I think that's kind of it's just like one of those questions. It's just a question that you don't really need to ask. But if I will, if I'm ever in the company. And when people say that, that was a good answer. So, you know, can't put Joe on the spot, man.
It's funny. Like, had you asked me that question, let's say a month ago, I probably would not have, you know, had an answer. It's only because I've actually sat down and thought. I mean, I may have heard that question asked on TV and actually thought about it. Like, wait a second. Like, and to me, you know. On its surface, you know, you shouldn't be. You know what I mean. On its surface, it's a bogus question, but it makes sense that it's a natural question to flow off the lips of people.
Sure.
Yeah. But
I thought that was a good answer.
But speaking of flow,
We talk about microphone flow.
No, more like a poetic rap flow.
Okay.
Mr. West.
Kanye West. I don't know. I really stopped paying attention to hip hop before he came on the scene. I understand who he is and I understand his importance and everything, but I got a feeling we're not talking about his music career, are we?
No. Quick question.
Yeah.
About what year and who was the last rapper you recalled, you know, following closely?
Wow. The last one.
Yeah,
I think...
Before you answer this question, are you sure you want to date yourself? Because like I don't know how old you are, but you know, you might be 200 years old, like a or something like that.
No, I think I'll date myself. Let's see, the last hip hop CD that I probably bought, and I don't think I bought it. It was a birthday gift from my brother, but it was a group called Lords of the Underground. And there was this time there in the 90s where. There was just like this time when there was these groups. I don't know. That's the last album that I remember owning. But it was around the time of like MC Breed, who I played as our intro last week with the No Future in Your Front and that. There's In Too Deep. Even around like Snoop Dogg's first album, Doggy Style, was kind of around that time, I think. But it was
Early 90s.
Yeah, I'd say 90. I graduated in 91, 92. I'd say 93 or 94 is probably when I really kind of stopped paying attention to it.
Let me guess. You started listening to thrasher music?
No, I went back and started listening to classic rock.
That's what's up.
That's after I'd had my wreck. I had my wreck in 90. I think I had my wreck in 94. And I just, yeah. So then I just went back and I started listening to like a lot of Doors, Pink Floyd, just a lot of classic rock. And after that, all of my real, after that, I think I was introduced to like Eminem way after. I mean, he had been around for a few years before. I just never was aware of or paid attention to him until I started working again, and somebody I worked with brought him to my attention. And oddly enough, the same goes for the Insane Clown Posse.
It's funny because I was thinking about the Insane Clown Posse, but I mean, they're rap, but they seem to be kind of like rap/rock.
It depends. I think it might depend on what you listen to. I think they're more like rap horror. A lot of their imagery is kind of horror. But like, I think if you listen to their first, their playing card, I can't think what they called it, but like their playing cards, group. I don't know. They had like four or five albums, I think, that it was like all about a single ultimate message. And you know what, for as much as Eminem shit on them, it's actually, I enjoy their music. One of my favorite hip hop albums of all time is The Great Malenko by Insane Clown Posse. So,
all right. Well, none of those guys are running for president.
Yeah, what the fuck happened? We're way off track, man.
Yeah, okay. So, Kanye West wants to bring back prayer in schools, give more government support to religious groups, and has even asked his campaign staff to refrain from fornicating outside of marriage, according to people close with candidates. Let's see, here's Kanye West, the billionaire hip-hop artist and fashion mogul turned Christian revivalist, is not running for president, but walking, as he puts it. He entered the race late and is not going to make the ballots in states including Florida, Texas, and Michigan, but he will be on the ballot in other places like Colorado, Minnesota, and Iowa. Some Democrats fear he could be a spoiler. Even if his political appeal is minuscule, third-party candidates don't need that many votes to make an impact, said Jill Stein. Jill Stein showed this in 2016, and Ralph Nader showed this in 2000. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Go ahead. I have some questions for you, but if you want.
Let's see here. Because of a variety of allies and supporters of Donald Trump are working on the ground to advance his campaign, many Democrats view his candidacy as a dirty trick by Republicans, a notion Mr. West rejected. Still in a year which has the president working to undermine the confidence in the election, Mr. West's candidacy is one more point of uncertainty. And many Republicans, including Mr. Trump, appear confident he will siphon votes from Joseph Biden, Jr., Democratic nominee, though his appeal could be blunted by some of his more conservative positions. Let me continue. You have a question here?
Well, I just, two or three years ago, I'm thinking, wasn't it Kanye met with the president, was seen wearing a red MAGA hat, and people lost their fucking minds just from that.
Oh, yeah.
The
sky fell.
Yeah. My friend, I thought that was a big deal.
What was a big deal?
Kanye West. Treating Trump as something other than just this horrible Nazi monster.
But
But he didn't even really support him at that time. He just wasn't anti him so much.
I'm not a Republican, but I always thought of treating Trump as if he's like, you know, the Antichrist or Nazi was always ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, and that's true. I know that from other conversations we've had. But do you? My thought was it was huge. My friend was like, nobody gives a fuck about Kanye anymore. So let me ask you. You know, as representing all of black people.
Oh.
No. Does Kanye's thoughts or beliefs have any impact on do you think the black population anymore? Does he still have an impact? Because as we always hear every election, you know, all it takes is like the Republican. All it would ever take is a Republican to peel off like a few percentages of the black vote to just, you know, to make the Democrat unelectable. So what kind of impact? I guess my question is, what kind of impact does Kanye West have on the black community today?
I think it's funny. Had you asked me that question, let's say 3 years ago, I'd be like, yeah, nobody listens to him, not at all. That's why I'm being garbage.
Yeah.
But as I've gotten older, I'm like, okay. I mean, as I've gotten older, and I've listened to more of what he's said, and I've also listened to how people have reacted to him.
Right.
I have a little bit more of a nuanced position about it. So when he first started coming out, when he first came out and met up with Trump at the at Trump Tower before the inauguration, people were like, oh, my God, this is the worst thing ever. People were calling him Kanye West. Hello?
Yeah, I will say, I was thinking about this the other day. There is nothing more nastier or racist than a black liberal attacking another black person for whatever reason. Because apparently they feel no restraint at all in the things that they say. And they will come up with some horrible shit to describe whoever they're mad at.
Well, I agree with you maybe 80% there. I think there's only... this is going to sound terrible. The only thing worse than a black liberal attacking a non-black liberal would be a white liberal attacking a non-black liberal.
Those are that I've got opinions on that as well.
And this is kind of we can go down that rabbit hole in a different story. But
sure.
I've got one of my very best friends from college.
Mm-hmm.
I remember we were in like a, you know, we were in a feminist philosophy class. and this person had come out and said, hey, I do not support abortion.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I went to a, you know, liberal arts school, predominantly white, predominantly white. And you know, the people in the class, it was me and this one of the girls. She's not white, but everyone else was white. And you would have thought that, you know, she had said something about their mothers. You know, like, you know, oh yeah, I've seen pictures of your mom doing X, Y, and Z. You would have thought she had said something like that.
Wow.
But she basically said, hey, you know, I wasn't planned. So, you know, had her mother had the choice, wherever she was born, you know, she may not have been born. And so
right.
The fact that, you know, the fact that she wasn't guaranteed a spot on this earth made her think, hey, I can't bring myself to be pro-choice. But they lampooned and lambasted her about that for, you know, they're still friends afterwards, but I just remember watching it and being like, my goodness, this is pretty vicious. But to your point, you're right. What African-Americans will say to a non-African-American, sorry, what black people will say to a non-Democrat black person is quite savage. And it's one of those things where you can literally see all thinking and restraint go out the window. So,
yeah.
But yeah, he was lampooned, lambasted, you know, about his thoughts. But yeah.
You know, the thing that I think should just piss everyone off is every time Kanye does something or says something like this, they always bring up bipolar disorder. I don't know why, but that just seems. I mean, I guess I do know why, but it just bothers me. And I think, you know, it's you can't have these thoughts on your own. It must be because you're crazy. And
well,
I mean,
the other thing that jumps to mind is it makes me think that maybe all these guys are reading off the same sheet of music, so to speak.
I have this belief regardless. So you're preaching to the choir right here.
Yeah. So when you put your finger on a fact that they all, I mean, and I think I skipped past it in the article where they're talking about, oh, this is, you know, bipolar. But you're right. The idea that he have these ideas all by himself, the fact that, you know, certain people just can't find that palatable, it should be a red flag to anyone. It should be a red flag to all black people that, you know, there's a line, a body of what am I looking for? Endorsed thought that you as a black person are allowed to have. And if you step off, you know, if you step off of that, you know, you're now persona non grata. That should be a red flag to more people, and I'm surprised that it isn't. But to answer your original question. I took a long way to get there.
I was distracting you along the way, so it's not entirely
your fault.
Yeah, you're
right. I feel so much better. It's not my fault. Thanks, Brian. But he says stuff that's seemingly controversial, but when you think about it, it shouldn't be. So, for example, he comes out against abortion. I mean,
right.
It should not be a large controversy that a person in his position might, you know, may not think that abortion is really the greatest idea. If for no other reason that he's got a kid and he's seen life.
Yeah.
You were about to say?
Yeah, along with abortion and along with the other things that he had mentioned. I can't speak for the entire black community, and no one can. But
I can.
Well, you can. I'll let you do it, or I'll let you confirm or deny. But I've always considered overall the black community to be, for the most part, a very religious group of people. Church is important to the family, and that makes, to me, it makes sense that they would hold, by and large, Christian values.
Well,
but yeah, go ahead.
Let me start off by, you know, making sure that everybody. You know, when you're dealing with millions of listeners,
right, you know, right, yeah,
0.01% of people misunderstanding is like a, 100,000 at the very least.
Yeah, we need to address them.
Yeah, so I mean, when I said earlier that I could speak for all black people, that was a joke.
Hyperbole.
Yeah, dramatic. I was being I just needed to clarify that one piece. But to your last point, there's a strain of a very strong strain of conservatism that runs through the African American community. And as you put your finger on it, there's a large proportion of us that are very, very religious. And so Yeah, yes, it makes sense that that's gonna, you know, that the a pro-life stance is likely going to be more heavily represented amongst the people who are who are very religious. Why would that? Why is that controversial, or even, you know, why is that even remarkable?
Right.
Someone will say, "Oh yeah, this person's a strong Catholic," and be like, "Oh yeah, and he's against abortion." That wouldn't be a surprise to anyone. Right?
Sure. Right. Yeah, I agree.
Mr. West has had a bare bones platform focusing on general objectives like reforming the police, reducing household and student debt, and restoring prayer in the classroom, with each point reinforced by scripture. In discussions, the topic he brought up most often was his opposition to abortion. He does not, however, want to ban abortion. All right, so that's, you know, he's showing some nuance there.
Yeah. I think he may, me and him may have come to the same beliefs on abortion.
Yeah, let's see here. Kind of right on cue, an inescapable element of Mr. West's candidacy is his bipolar disorder, which he has spoken about in the past.
Yeah.
But, you know, truth be told, people always talk about, oh, you know, this person, he's running for president, he, you know, he's a narcissist, he's this, he's that. Part of me says, if, you know, who looks in the mirror and says, yes, I should be the most powerful man on earth. I mean,
you have to be a narcissist to be president.
Yeah,
president.
I think you have to have a little something slightly off center, because I don't think it is something that a totally grounded and centered person looks up and says what they want to do. I mean, you know, those guys go through the ringer. I mean, if you were to look at a picture of everybody who becomes president, look at their before and their after pictures. It looks as if they, you know, they age maybe 10 years during their. I mean, like they start aging in dog years when they when they're president. So,
you know what though, I can't imagine for whatever reason, whether it's because his image is fake now or what, but I don't see Trump looking like he's going to age a whole lot after his presidency, but it's probably because there's not much about him that's, I don't know what's up with his hair, man. I mean, I think that it's real, but maybe it's not, or I don't know.
It's funny, like, have you ever seen, like, it seems like sometimes you see Trump with his makeup on, and sometimes you see him without his makeup on.
Right.
And when Trump does not have his makeup on, he looks like death.
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, yeah. That whole, like, people calling him orange.
Right, yeah.
I think that's the makeup.
I just figured it was, what's the spray on tan or something.
Oh, okay. If you were to look at him, the average person, even a person who is pro him, will look at him and be like, yeah, that don't look right. But the thing is, it's hard to believe that a billionaire would get that cheap a spray on tan, you know?
That's an awesome point.
What?
That a billionaire would, if he was going to, yeah, that's if a billionaire was to buy, a billionaire would pay for a billionaire spray on tan, and it would look a lot better than that.
Yeah, yeah. So I just think that, you know, maybe, it's really quite inexplicable. In fact, I'm looking at a picture of him right now. And actually, the article about Trump and Ginsburg.
Mm.
If you can click on that, if you look at his face, and then you look at his hand.
Okay.
Yeah, his face is fleshy, and it's like peachy, orangish, and his hand looks dead. the Bikini Slim lotion.
Well, I think that's a good segue.
Actually, yeah, it is.
Into Trump and in we need to, you know, it's important. We need to talk about the Ruth Bader Ginsburg, her passing.
Do you recall which day she passed?
Oh goodness.
Wasn't it like last Friday?
Yeah, or the weekend, or yeah, because.
Okay, let's just get to the bottom of this.
Yeah, we're sitting. I wish we had some connected.
Device or method. Yeah, summoning this information.
I fucked it up, Joe. Yeah, I fucked it up. Yeah, I wish we had. Yeah, we fucked it up. Ruth Ginsburg, death.
September 18th, 2020. So 6 days ago. So yeah, it would have been on a Friday.
It was.
Sorry, yes.
18, I got to click on the calendar. It was last Friday, yes.
Yeah. See? The moral of the story is, when in doubt, rely on Joe's memory.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had intended, that we would talk, when we talked about her, I had intended on doing some research. Because, to be honest, I don't know a whole lot about her. Mm-hmm. I know that she's considered a left-leaning judge, and that's about all I really knew about her. I didn't know this. But I never got around to doing the research on her, and as it turns out, other things have come up anyway. But what do we have here? I'm not even sure what the point of this article is. But you've been doing a lot of reading, Joe. Would you like me to take over for this one?
All right, sure. But let's see, Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Just really briefly, she was appointed by Bill Clinton, correct?
I believe so.
I mean, let's see here.
It had to have been Clinton, yeah.
Oh yeah, I know it was Clinton, but I just want to make sure that I can. I mean, yeah, just see if it is about 1993 thereabouts.
Okay.
Let's see here. Clinton in office. Carter, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so she was, looks like she was appointed August 9th, 1993, or thereabouts.
And that makes sense. The Republicans took control of both the House and the Senate in 94, so.
It looks like she was a federal judge for about 13 years. Before that, she had kind of made a name for herself in private practice, basically going out and dealing with a lot of gender issues. So areas in the law where people were treated in unequal ways because of their gender. So one case might be, you're a man, and you've got a kid, and you're trying to apply for food stamps or Medicare for you. Sorry, child care. Back in the day, they'd be like, this is a benefit for women.
Mm-hmm.
You can't have it. Or let's say you're a woman, and you may have had to get permission from your husband to do things, and so. There were a whole bunch of things that, based on your gender, if you were a woman in the United States, your life was just harder because the way the laws were written. And I know she's that's kind of how she made her name, is going out and picking on these cases and winning. And so, and as a result, women all across the United States and around the world, for that matter, are in a better position as a result. But this article, what's going on here?
Well, this is playing all her passing. I'll just read the first few paragraphs here. Get us familiar with what's going on here. President Donald Trump capitalized on the death of Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg Saturday night, using the now open Supreme Court seat to rally his supporters as the president seeks to jolt his campaign in the final few weeks of an election that has shown him consistently running behind his Democratic opponent, Joe Biden. Well, I'm sorry. I know, yeah, that everything's showing him running behind, but I don't believe it. But anyway, moving on, Article 2 of our Constitution says that the president shall nominate justices of the Supreme Court. I don't think it can be any more clear, can it? I don't think so, Trump said, speaking at an airport hangar in Fayetteville, North Carolina, as a crowd of supporters energetically chanted, "Fill the seat." Of course. Lock her up. Fill the seat.
Yeah, it seemed like you know, Trump rallies are known for getting audience interactive and audience involved.
Audience participation.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. I love that chant, Trump said. There's a lot of genius in that chant. Well, that's just pandering. But for weeks, Trump had hit an increasingly predictable note on the campaign trail, focusing on law and order, and depicting an unrecognizable portrait of a country rebounding from the coronavirus. The hyperbolic imagery of a country overrun by looters and untouched by the pandemic has not seemed to strike a winning chord with Americans. Trump has trailed Biden in national polls and key battleground state polls, including North Carolina, where Biden leads by roughly 1 percentage point.
Putting aside the fact that you don't believe the poll, and which
right.
Both, what do you take from that?
I guess you can say that he could at least wait until she's buried, maybe, before politicizing things. But then again, what politics is just, especially, it seems like they just get. I mean, it's war. It just gets nastier and nastier.
It's a blood sport.
It is, and this is a new weapon for him to use, and so I don't know, man. Before we started recording, we both questioned, you know, just how legitimate these deathbed claims are that people seem to make, you know. But you know, if you believe what they say, you know, Ruth Bader Ginsburg made this political right before she gave up the ghost, and so does that give him the right to pick up on it and run? I don't know. Probably, maybe not.
No. The answer to that is no.
Yeah.
I mean, a person's deathbed ranting should not be used to put on a platform.
You're right. But one of the things that Republicans or at least people who pay attention elected Trump for was for Supreme Court nominees, and so he's been unusually fortunate in getting nominees.
If we're honest. If we're honest, the first one he got, he probably shouldn't have gotten. Can we agree on that?
I don't agree on that.
Yeah, why not? We're talking about who was the first guy? It was Gorsuch. The first person he put up was Gorsuch.
Right.
And that was after Antonin Scalia croaked.
Yeah.
And with like a year left in Obama's term, and Mitch McConnell was like, "I'm not gonna do it. Why? Cause I just didn't know." To me, they stole that one. They, there was a vacancy on the court. The court had business that was important and that needed to be done. And the Republicans in that case just said, no, we're not going to do it. Now, they were well within their right to do that, but I still think that was shady. That's why I say he stole the first. He's had three picks. Of those three picks, two were honest, in my opinion.
Well, as Obama made clear to the Republicans before he lost the Congress, elections have consequences. So,
elections have consequences, but there is such thing as procedure. I mean, we're a country of laws, and those laws, are pretty much are governed by procedure. When there was a, I don't want to go down that route, but I guess I'm kind of complicated. I think he was wrong. I think Mitch McConnell was wrong to not fill the seat. However, because they're a co-equal, branch of government, they were well within their right to have done it. I just think they were shady, and it's got to be one of those things where, when Gorsuch dies or comes out off the court in 20 years, this will still be something that people reference. How he got that seat?
Only people. Like you and I, maybe.
No,
people who pay attention, people who care and pay attention.
Hopefully that's the case. But let's see here. What do you think? Do you think he should wait? Or do you honor her?
No, I mean no, not at all. No, definitely not because she said so. Here's the difference. Here's the difference between the. What they call the McConnell rule is at that time McConnell was the opposition. He was the opposition of the president, and he could argue that the American people gave Republicans control of the Senate to put the halt, to put the brakes on what they seen the president was doing. Is that right or wrong? No one knows. I mean, if that's, is that true or false? No one knows, but.
No. I think we can discern. So, I mean, isn't Mitch McConnell the same guy that said that he would make healthcare Obama's Waterloo?
I don't know. Maybe. If you're saying, I'll trust it. If he did, I'll trust you. But it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. But to say that he was doing this on a principled reason. And that it was anything other than just a raw political calculation is just.
Oh no! Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it was because of some
principle.
But he was the opposition, and he's not the opposition. He's not the opposition to Trump right now, and Trump doesn't have an opposition right now. So I don't see there's no correlation
in the
Senate. There's no correlation between And you know what I want to say? I want to say this when it comes to this. And I don't know if you remember this or not. And I tried and I could not find. I couldn't find documentation on it, and I think it's probably because there probably isn't documentation on it. But I want to say I remember it vividly when it happened. In 1994, when Newt Gingrich took over the House, and the Republicans won the Senate. The Republicans, in a show of good faith to their opposition, this is back when Republicans had absolutely zero spine and didn't know how to be leaders. They, in a show of contrition, they gave Democrats equal representation on all of the committee appointments. I'm pretty sure.
No. I don't know what you're talking about there. But, yeah. I'll say this. I don't know what you're talking about there. I won't outright discount it. It's something we can go back and do research on.
I'll try to do more, but that's what I vividly remember it, unless you're thinking that I'm remembering wrong.
Yeah, I think you're remembering wrong.
Okay.
So let me make sure we're clear here. You're saying that the Republicans in 94 under Newt Gingrich, so you're saying that when given an opportunity, Newt Gingrich was like, yeah, I'm going to take this opportunity to be fair to the Democrats. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it was an effort to show bipartisanship they did it because of the media. They wanted the media to not write horrible things about him, which they did anyway.
I just can't, from what I know about Newt Gingrich, I can't imagine him doing that. I also can't imagine him caring about what the media wrote about him. So just on those two things alone, it makes me think, okay, you know, Brian believes this, but I, you know, don't for those two reasons. But my mind's open on the matter. But that's a little further away than from.
Well,
we need to be on.
That's my belief, and until that changes, my beliefs now are, fuck it. There are no rules, we need as many conservatives on the court as we can get, and I say full steam ahead.
Okay. Part of that, to my mind, is crazy talk, but part of it is the BC Newman I know. So there you go.
I'm glad I eventually showed up to the podcast, man.
Yeah, you probably have to start looking for you under rocks and stuff like that. Like, where's Brian?
I know.
We have to have a certain amount of crackpotness for each episode to be official.
Well.
Like, I don't know about all that.
You're making me blush now, Joe.
Blushing blind, Brian. Speaking of blushing. I'm sorry, one last thing. So,
yeah.
On this whole Ginsburg thing.
Okay.
Like, I feel like a terrible person.
Okay.
And not for all the obvious reasons. So, poor Ginsburg dies. Well, probably not poor. She was a Harvard-trained lawyer, and I think her husband was a Harvard-trained tax attorney as well. So probably not poor. But, I kind of felt bad because, you know, there are a lot of people who are like, oh my goodness, this is going to, you know, switch the court, and now the conservatives are going to be running the thing. It's going to be a 6-3 majority, and they're going to go after an overturn Roe versus Board of Education. They're going to go after an overturn the Obamacare. They're going to go after an overturn all this other stuff. But part of me was thinking to myself, you know what? This is all Ruth Bader Ginsburg's fault.
She should have stayed alive?
Well, that's one answer. But,
oh.
I mean,
I'm sorry.
My point is,
I was joking, but there were a lot of clips on the internet this past week of people who were like legitimately pissed off at her for dying.
Oh yeah, I mean, in prior episodes we would have made reference to, you know, this scenario as
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'd have some clips for it or something.
We ought to phrase that Mr. Newman and his growth is now refraining from. You know what phrase that is?
I have an idea.
All right, so.
But you know what? I've got a feeling that one of these episodes is coming up, and I'm going to make up for lost time in it, baby.
Fair enough. It might be the next episode because
it could be. It could be the next episode.
Because by then they'll have the first presidential debate between Biden and Trump. But back to the point I was making. This woman had the audacity to die at 87 years old. And I just find it inexplicable that she would do that. But what I also find inexplicable is that, you know, you have to go 30, 40 years to find a time when Ruth Bader Ginsburg wasn't old. Does that make sense?
I know what you mean.
And so the fact that, you know, people are like, oh my God, this is so terrible, this is so unforeseen. How is it unforeseen? I mean, maybe they wouldn't say it's unforeseen, but they're like, oh, like, you know, she died and she wanted to be replaced by someone who was more like-minded. But, you know, why didn't she do that back when, you know, when she was only 80 years old and had a favorable president who had the Senate in her hands? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I'm fully expecting that when Trump gets reelected, I expect that I expect Thomas to retire and let him replace him. I don't know if there's another one or not, but I expect Thomas to retire after Trump wins this election.
Wow! I hadn't thought about that.
Because Thomas is getting old too.
Yeah, but this is the thing. So I am more likely than not to be sympathetic to Ruth Bader Ginsburg's positions on most things, and it just I get irritated at her for not having resigned sooner.
You're right. This could have been avoided.
Oh, my opinion, and I know there are a lot of people who would think I'm a horrible person for saying that. Oh, she had her wits about her, but when you're 80 years old, you're 80 years old.
No, you're being pragmatic or yeah, pragmatic. You're being pragmatic.
And I think that Ruth Bader Ginsburg was showing a fairly significant amount of hubris.
Mm.
So that's me. I guess that's my speaking ill of the dead for this section. The other thing I thought about this was I was very annoyed because she's been dead. It kind of threw a wrench in my ability to get around town. Does that make sense?
Hey, it does make sense, man.
So, I passed the Supreme Court pretty much daily. And normally it's just a quick, 2-3 minute drive down, I think it was at First Street, to get past the court. And
First Street.
Yeah. Normally it's uneventful, but now there are all these protesters and people with flowers, and it's just it's terrible. So,
I feel you, man. I feel you.
Yeah. But I'm sorry. We need to move this along because...
I'm looking at the call here, or the record. We're at 109 minutes. This has been an awesome conversation, but let's put these other two things I have on the agenda here on ice, and let's jump on down to my this weekend skullduggery, and then we'll wrap this up because it's getting late. We got a late start, and yeah.
Okay,
what
do you
agree?
Oh yeah, let's go to it. Let's hear it.
Yeah. So this week in skullduggery is I called it when virtue signaling goes wrong. And I hate me. I despise virtue signaling.
Hey, why don't you tell us about what exactly is virtue signaling?
Well,
approximately.
Virtue signaling is one of the one of the traits of those on the social justice warriors side. Where not exclusively, certainly not exclusively at all. But all right, let me take I don't want my point to be muddied up. So take out social justice, but it's basically you or someone saying something in words are failing me tonight now. Not being genuine. People saying things that are not genuine just for the sake of saying them because it's what woke people should say.
All right, let's go back for our running definition for now. Let's proceed.
Yeah. And no better way to define it than to give a good example of it.
Deal.
Early this month, Princeton president Christopher Eisgruber went through the woke anti-racist rite of confession. He published a letter confessing the ongoing racism at his university under his leadership. Such confessions serve to prop up the ridiculous claim that any racial disparities are ipso facto proof of institutional racism. Claims like Eisgruber's are less a confession of actual fact and more of a rhetorical weapon to push Marxist critical race theory.
I don't know about all that. I mean, to me, he could be like, oh yeah, he can acknowledge in my mind that there may be racism. Sorry, that there is racism on his campus and not be pushing a Marxist racist something or theory.
I think what got him in the problem is admitting that he's presiding over basically a racist university.
Okay. Okay, what happened?
The Department of Education decided to call Princeton's bluff. According to a letter obtained by the Washington Examiner, the Department of Education launched an investigation into the Ivy League University. Princeton, like other schools that receive federal funding, pledges to abide by certain federal laws in order to receive federal funding. Since Eisgruber became president in 2013, Princeton has received more than $75 million in federal Title IV taxpayer funds, and the school has repeatedly represented and warranted to the U.S. Department of Education Princeton's compliance with Title VI of the Civil Rights Act of 1964. The letter reads, Title VI provides no person in the United States shall, on the ground of race, color, or national origin, be excluded from participation in, be denied the benefit of, or be subjected to discrimination under any program or activity receiving federal financial assistance. On September 2nd, 2020, you admitted Princeton's educational program is, and for decades has been, racist, the letter notes. Among other things, you said, racism and the damage it does to people of color persist at Princeton, and racist assumptions remain embedded in structures of the university itself. Because of racism, you announced race-based diversity measures for hiring, procurement, teaching, fellowship, and research funding, the letter adds. Based on its admitted racism, the U.S. Department of Education is concerned Princeton's non-discrimination and equal opportunity assurances in its program participation agreements from at least 2013 to the present may have been false, the letter explains. Finally, the department is further concerned Princeton's many non-discrimination and equal opportunity claims to students, parents, and consumers in the market for education consumers in the market for education certificates may have been false, misleading, and actionable substantial representations in violation of U.S. law. Therefore, the Department of Justice is opening an investigation into Princeton and may end up removing funds from the university and demanding Princeton pay back taxpayer funds it should not have received. Based on the facts, the Secretary of Education considers measures against Princeton for false program participation agreement non-discrimination assurances, including an action to recover funds.
So that's a long way of saying that because the president of Princeton said that there's racism on campus, Betsy DeVos is saying that they're going to review Princeton and possibly claw back up to $75 million?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah. You know what? It takes a set of ovaries.
Wow.
To issue a letter like that.
I think it's complete bullshit, but I like the sentiment behind it. If this was to ever come to fruition, I would literally jump up out of my chair and do a dance, but it'll never happen. But I just like the sentiment behind it.
Yeah, like it's funny because one of the stories that got the axe for this week was the story I told you about how some landowners don't have any chill.
Right. Yeah.
I'm sorry. That wasn't fair on my point. I should not have said that last week.
It's all good, man. This is a free speech zone. I think we've for the most part proven that.
You know what? We haven't completely read all the terms and conditions of us being on YouTube.
Yeah, but nobody reads that, right?
Nah, nobody. Reads
no that. One reads it. No one reads the terms and conditions. but despite that fact, I want to once again ask everyone listening to like this episode.
Please like.
Subscribe if you're not already. Click the little bell button so you're notified when we drop episodes.
It's always news you can use.
And share with as many people as you can. Even people you don't know, share it. You know, you never know. Well, you might change someone's life.
You know what? A stranger is just a friend that you haven't met yet.
That is awesome. And on that note, Joe, I will say you and I should meet at approximately 5:30, 6 o'clock, 7 days from now, and we will do this again. Hopefully, technology will be working with us at this time, but yeah, what do you say?
I say that
sounds
like a plan.
I like it. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, take care.
Next time.
Think I ain't hit the stroke kid? You must be joking. Token. Open shit, I don't even be smoking that coke. Marijuana got your ass loking, poking. Sleeping motherfuckers till they woken. I'm still crunking 5 in the morning. Why your ass yawning? I'm blowing till the crack of dawning. Laughing at Japan, your possessions. Yes, it's been worldwide tested. Showing off my diamond and the best. Real big, ice
Yokohama ties. When I ride on them bitches, they put the hole on fire. Bitches stay a high side, ho, it ain't no bang. Y'all just find it by the diamonds, the pimp to make it rain.
Talking about Houston, I mean Tuesday, baby, tipping in the hood, huh? P-Day, on the P, every day. Talking about the
L.A.,
L.A., in the Bay, what's happening? Hold up, what they driving, huh? Talking about rolling back, big Mac, the grill on the back, and the grill and the grill coming down in the bay.
Hollin' at them boys, I'm riding at them boys, I'm scouting them boys, I'm scouting up the boys.